Psalms 55. Before I got sick some weeks ago, the Lord was going to have me start a series on prayer. And I preached the first message entitled, When Thou Prayest. And when we pray, we're not there to inform God about our situation because He already knows. We are really there to invite God into our situation. We welcome Him. We need Him. We desire Him. I'm going to read the same text one more time in Psalm 55, verse 16. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud. And He shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. Verse 22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. Tonight, I want to emphasize the fact that David, his very own son Absalom, has led a rebellion against his daddy. And David has found that many are following his son so much that there's going to be destruction of God's holy city, Jerusalem, between the two factions that are about to come at war. And so David decided that he would leave and go hide in the caves and just let Absalom have his way. And David walked off barefooted. They threw dirt at him and stones at him, and they cursed at him. And a faithful few went with David. And as David was leaving, he hears that his right-hand man, not only his son, but his right-hand man, Ahithophel, his best advisor and counselor, had joined in the conspiracy with his son. And it broke David's heart. He said, we took sweet counsel together. We went to the house of the Lord together. We worshiped together. And this is what he said. He said, Lord, I pray that you turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. Now, David prayed and asked God to do this. And tonight I will preach on this thought, expecting an answer. David, when he prayed and asked God to turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness, he believed God would answer. He was expecting an answer. And here David is in verse 16 and verse 17. He's expecting an answer from the Lord God. What did David do when he's betrayed? What did David do when he was overwhelmed? He prayed to God and he expected an answer. Now, to expect an answer is not a demand. You're not demanding an answer. You're expecting His answer. There was a Sunday school class of young girls, and that their teacher was teaching them to have pen pals writing to missionaries all across the countries that were overseas. And the teacher was explaining as the girls were writing letters, they said, now listen, these missionaries are very, very busy. And they may not have time to respond back. They may not have time to write you back. They may not have time to answer your letter, but we're going to send it anyway. And one little girl, she wrote, dear missionary, we are praying for you, and we are not expecting an answer. Now, when we pray, we have to be expecting an answer from the Lord. Tonight, somebody opened this building, and when they did, they opened the door and they hit this light switch over here, and they expected when they hit it that the lights were going to come on. And if the lights didn't come on when you flip the switch, you believe that the bulbs are burnt out or there's faulty wiring or there's no power or the fuse is blown or you didn't pay the power bill. When you hit that light switch, you expect that light's going to come on. Now, I just believe that when we pray, if we are not getting an answer, something could possibly be wrong. And I want us to consider this strongly tonight in six areas, and I've got to move quick or we'll never get to the preacher that's supposed to preach tonight. And thank you for being patient, preacher. I think number one, when we pray, we need to pray in submission. You ought to write that down. Psalm 66 verse 18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. In other words, if I am living in disobedience, the Holy Spirit has convicted me and told me to confess my sins. And if I say, no, I'm not doing it, I'm going to continue my grudge, I'm going to continue doing what I'm doing. God said, I will not hear your prayer if you have made peace in your life with sin. If you regard sin, this iniquity, I will not hear your prayer. Wow, that's huge, huge. I want to read another text. It's out of Isaiah chapter 59. We could quote verse 1, but I want you to see verse 2. Would you turn there with me? Isaiah 59, look in verse 1, and we're also going to read verse number 2. I want you to find it in your Bible tonight. Isaiah 59, verse number 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Say amen right there. Amen. Neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Same thing. If you have sin and iniquity in your life, and if you're not coming to confess that sin and get right with God about that sin, he's not hearing your prayer. And this is all through the Word of God. Say, Preacher Darren, you're kind of going back to where you were Sunday morning and Sunday night and maybe the week before that. I can't get off of it tonight. The Bible says in Proverbs 28:9, he that turneth away his ear from the hearing of the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. Joshua and the people of Israel, God gave them a great victory down at Jericho. But when they went to fight little old Ai, they lost. And Joshua began to pray, said, oh Lord, where were you at? You gave us victory at Jericho, but now we're at Ai and we lost. And God said to Joshua, get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? I'm praying, Lord. He said, get up. Israel hath sinned. There's sin in the camp, and you just get off your face. You're not going to pray. I'm not going to hear it until you confess the sin that you've committed against me, and that's what they had to do. Well, Preacher Darren, we're all sinners, so what prayer will God hear? There's one prayer that God will hear when you have sin and iniquity and transgression in your life. What is it? Remember the publican? How you remember how that he was standing far off, and the Pharisee was, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like this publican is, and he was prideful. What'd the publican say? He would not lift up so much as his eyes toward heaven, but he smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's the prayer that God will hear when you're in sin. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, forgive my sin. When you get there and he forgives your sin, then you can start your prayer life. Then you can talk to the Lord. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 9. Would you turn with me? We're going to do a lot of Bible turning. 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. And I tell you the danger of having a preacher that's getting ready to preach right behind you. Every verse you're reading, he's thinking he's going to read my verse. He's going to read my verse. He's going to read my verse. Y'all don't even know if I may have took his outline. Amen. 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 22. I want you to see this tonight about our prayer life. We need to, number one, pray in submission. Look at this. After we pray and call on the Lord, repenting of our sins, confessing our sins, verse 22, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments. What was his commandment? Don't regard iniquity in your heart. Confess your sin. Get right with God. Read it again. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Number one, pray in submission. Number two, if you want to get an answer from the Lord, pray in the Son's name. His name, Jesus. There is access in the name of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 6, he hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Ephesians 2:18, for through him we both have access through one Spirit unto the Father. Through the name of Jesus, we have access to the throne of Almighty God. I dare not come in my name. I dare not come in the name of the church. I dare not come in the name of one of my family members. But I come in the name of Jesus. And Jesus allows me to come before the throne of God. Now there's the authority of his name. You know what Jesus said? John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You can't come to the throne. You can't come to the Father. You can't get saved but through the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Here on earth, if you're rolling down the highway and you hear a siren pull up behind you of a police officer, what are you supposed to do? Stop, pull over, right? Why? Because of the authority of that siren. If you're out in the middle of a street somewhere and a police officer says, hey, and pulls out his badge, what are you supposed to do? Stop, because of the authority that's in his badge. Hey, there's authority in the name of Jesus. Now that reminds me, one time there was an old farmer, and there was an old boy showed up there to the old farmer's property. And he got out and said, I want you to know I'm a state inspector, and we've come to review your property where the new interstate's going to go through. And here's my card. And the farmer took the card, looked at it, and looked back at the man. He said, okay, but whatever you do, don't you go in that field over there. He said, sir, I've told you, I'm with the state inspector's office. There's an interstate coming through here, and that card gives me authority to be in any field I want to be in. You cannot tell me which field I can be in or not. And so the farmer just shrugged his shoulders and walked off, and directly the inspector started, looked in this field. He went over there to the field he was told not to go, and there was a bull that lowered his head down and started snorting and took off, ready to headbutt that inspector. And that inspector started running and said, help me, help me, help me. He said, show him your card, show him your card. Amen. Let me tell you something. Bulls stampeding, ready to butt you, they're not going to stop in the name of the state of North Carolina. They're not going to stop in the name of the state of the president, the name of the president of the United States. But honey, I'll tell you something. In the name of Jesus, every demon has to bow. Every problem, every catastrophe, everything is under his feet. And if you're going to pray, honey, you better pray in the name of Jesus. There is approval in his name. John chapter 14, verse 13, he said, whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Amen. You know, when you come here to the church, and if I want to write a tithe to the church, or maybe I'm going to give you a check and pay you for something maybe I've purchased from you, and if I write your name on it, that's okay. And I write the amount on there, that's okay. I put the date on it, that's okay. And I give it to you, it won't do nothing. But when I put my name on the bottom of it, now it gives authority for you to get money out of my account. Honey, Jesus has given us a blank check. And he signed his name on it and says, if you'll ask in my name, well, hallelujah, I'll do whatever you ask in my name. Thank God when we pray in submission and when we pray in the name of the Son of God, things will get done. Amen. Thirdly, we're to pray in the Spirit. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Jude chapter 1 verse 20 says, but you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Oh, you got to see this. Romans chapter 8, what a great chapter. Powerful, powerful book. Romans chapter 8 verse 26. Romans 8 verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. The word helpeth means to take hold of, to go along with. He's going to help you. He's a comforter. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Amen. When I'm so broken, I can't even speak. When I'm so broken, all I can do is cry. When I'm so broken, I can't even think. And I just go to God and say, oh God, The Holy Ghost takes my prayers and flies before the throne of God and says, this is what he's saying and this is what he means. This is what he's saying and this is what he needs. Thank God we have one named the Holy Ghost that can appear before the throne of God and come in the name of Jesus as we submit ourselves before him, and things will get done. Hey, you know, preacher, why don't we pray more? Well, I tell you, we're men of little faith. The Bible says the flesh is weak, but the Spirit of God strengthens us and helps us to come before God. It's amazing. We know not how to pray as we ought. You come in tonight and say, I'm praying for preacher so-and-so. They're going to be preaching a little bit, but you don't know. He may be turning the service over to somebody else.
right? And you say, I'm praying for that. You didn't know you was praying for Preacher James tonight because he's the one going to be preaching in a minute. Well, you say, well, I'm praying for people that are sick. Sometimes we pray more for people that are sick than we do pray for people that need to be saved. And sometimes we're praying for folks that are sick and we're keeping them out of heaven when we ought to be praying that people are saved and keep them out of hell. Amen. Well, fourthly, we need to pray in surrender to the will of God. Friend, I want to ask you a question. Do you want to do the will of God? Do you want to know the will of God? Will you do what God's will says for you to do? Well, that depends. What does it depend on? You must commit yourself to the will of God before you know the will of God. That means that you trust Him, that His will is perfect for you. You must accept the will of God before you know the outcome. Well, preacher, if I only knew how it turned out, then I might go along with it. Then I might do it if I'd only know. Hey, but you're not trusting Him. If you want to know the will of God, honey, it'll start with, do you trust the will of God? Do you trust Him for your betterment? Amen. You see, when we pray, prayer does not bend the will of God to meet your will. You see, prayer causes you and I to accept His will, to do His will, and to know His will when we pray. In 1 John again, chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5, verse number 14. I could say a lot about the will of God, and notice that the will of God is not plural. It didn't say wills. God doesn't have four or five different wills for you. There is one will of God. One will, look it up. One will of God for you. In 1 John 5:14, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. It may very well be that God has already dispatched your answer, though it's not got to you yet. What? That's crazy, preacher. Oh, amen. Just trust Him for it. He knows what He's doing. Pray and surrender to the will of God. Number five, pray in sweet fellowship with other believers. The Bible says in the book of Mark, chapter number 11, turn there. This ought to be underlined in your Bible. Mark chapter number 11. I hope you're got this marked in your Bible. What a beautiful text. Jesus' words, Mark 11 verse 25. When you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any. Hello. Amen. I have aught against them, forgive them. Yeah, but they've not said, I'm sorry yet. Shouldn't have to. Jesus forgave me. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I hadn't even said, I'm sorry yet. He was already ready to forgive me. What about that? If He hadn't done that, God would have wiped the whole place out. If you have aught against any, you're supposed to forgive them. Why? That your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. See, that if you want to get your sins forgiven, you better be in fellowship one with another. You better be willing to forgive other people. Yeah, but you don't know what they did to me. You have no idea. And I'm going to hold on to it until they say, I am sorry to me in person and write me a 3-page letter because all the pain I've been through. Honey, you didn't die for that sin. Jesus has already died for that sin. Jesus has already paid for it. It's not up to you to hold it ransom. Look at the next verse. But if you do not forgive, you want to hold that grudge, you want to harbor them feelings, not let it go, you don't want to confess that you got all, you don't want to get right about it, okay? If you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Just like Jericho and Israel going down to Ai, and Ai means flesh, just like they went down there and fought against Ai, you're going to get defeated in the next battle. And you're going to lay on your face and say, oh God, where was you at? I thought you. God's going to say, get up off your face. This defeat happened to you because you have an ought against so and so. Yeah, but my ought is justified. Well, God's going to say, then I'm not going to forgive your sins, and I'm not going to hear your prayer until you get right with your neighbor about it. And it's just as simple. You don't have to go and tell them. I just want to let you know I forgive you for everything you've ever done. You need to keep your mouth shut about that. You're going to make more trouble when you do that. What you need to do is you need to go to God and say, God, help me to forgive them. I mean, you can go listen to Corrie Ten Boom, some of the tapes and stuff that she's made, and talk about how she was kept in that Nazi prison camp, concentration camp, and how they did her family and treated them, and see some of them Nazi soldiers get right with God and get saved, and walked up to her and said, Fraulein, will you forgive me? But she wanted to slap them through the face. She wanted to smack them back for what they did to her family. And this is what she said, oh God, give me your grace. Just as Jesus forgave my sins, help me to forgive their sins against my family. And she said, my hand came out and I said, I will right now. God can help you to forgive others. It's one of the biggest things that hinders your walk with Jesus in your prayer life is because you harbor grudges against the Lord, and you're not praying in sweet fellowship one with another. And I want to add this in, and I won't charge you nothing for it, but will you listen to me? It just very well may have happened tonight. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them, talking about your wife, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Fellas, been a lot of our prayer lives been hindered because of the way we've treated our wives. Amen. I got one more. Number six. Get ready, Brother James. Number six, pray in simple faith. One more. Matthew 21, verse 22. Matthew 21, verse 22. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not. You need to, number six, pray in simple faith. Keep reading. If you have faith and doubt not. Don't look at verse 21. You shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also you shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast in the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing. You ought to underline that important word. Preacher, it's just one word. Very important. Whatsoever you ask in prayer, comma, believing, comma, you shall receive. Pray and believe, you shall receive. Pray and doubt, you'll do without. Amen? Can I get a witness? Oftentimes we pray just like them little girls in the class writing that letter. We're praying for you, but we do not expect an answer. God help us. Many years ago, there was a young lady by the name of Hattie Mae. She went to church. She was 6 years old. She went to church, and there was no room for her in the Sunday school department. I mean, there was oodles and oodles, ever how many that is, of children. And so she left the building sobbing. The teacher had no room in the classroom, and the next classroom had no room for her. And the pastor saw her walking off the property, weeping and sobbing by herself. And he stopped her and said, young lady, why are you crying? She said, I'm turned away. Why? Because it's too crowded. I can't go to Sunday school. I want to go to Sunday school. She sobbed. So the pastor picked her up and said, what class do you go to? She was kind of unkempt. She was kind of shabby dressed and maybe thought because she looked like she was so poor, nobody wanted to take time for her. So he picked her up and he carried her back to the edge of the door and he opened the door for her and he set her down and got her by the hand and they walked down into the building. And they came to the Sunday school class and he said to the teacher, he said, do you have any more room? She said, Pastor, she looked at the little girl, she said, Pastor, I'm ashamed to tell you, but we're out of room, and I sent her to the next class. And the next class evidently couldn't take her either. And he said, well, if you don't have room for Hattie Mae, you don't have room for me. And I'm the pastor. And if you don't have room for me, I'm sure you don't have room for Jesus. You got to figure out how you're going to get one more in there. So they made room. They sat down two and three and one or two chairs. And the child was so happy. And she came upstairs after Sunday school, and she called on Jesus, and she got saved. She was faithful to church, little Hattie Mae was. But 2 years later, she died of diphtheria. And the pastor was called. His name was Dr. Conwell. And he came to see the family and to talk to them. And they carried her little corpse off the bed and took it down towards the funeral home. And the family said, we want you to conduct her funeral. We know she got saved there, and her world was changed there, and he kind of looked around the room, and laying there on her little dresser, if you call it a dresser, was a little red change purse. It had a few little sequins on it, and it was cracked, and it was kind of halfway open. A piece of paper was in it. And Dr. Conwell said he just pulled that piece of paper out, and this is what it said. It said, "This is money to build the Sunday school bigger, to help the children go to Sunday school." And he opened it up and he dumped it out and he counted 57 pennies. She'd been saving about a penny, I said 2 years. She'd been saving about a penny every other week to try to help with the church building fund because she wanted other kids to be able to go to Sunday school. 57 cents. And the pastor put the money back in there in the little note and asked the parents, "Can I take this at the funeral? Can I use it?" And he stood up and he read her little note. And he cried about this little girl's unselfish love and how she prayed that their church could add on so there'd be room for little children like her to go to Sunday school and hear about Jesus. And unto God, it's all we can do with wide open Sunday schools to get anybody to come and do anything. Wednesday nights, place set half empty because they don't appreciate what God's doing. But he stood up and he read her little note and he poured them 57 cents out. And he challenged his church. He said, "Church, today we start building on 57 cents. And to me, the number 5 in 57 represents grace. And the number 7 represents God's complete number. And he said, and if you look up number 57 in the little red back hymnal, you're going to find another song called Amazing Grace." And so somehow the newspaper got a hold of it. And they began to publish about Hattie Mae Wyatt. And a realtor came down and said, "There's this big piece of property and we want to offer it to you." And they said, "We could never afford that big piece of property for this church." And said, "Well, it's a good deal. It's just 57 cents. And basically, they didn't even take the money from them. They gave them all that property. And so they started to build, but they didn't really. And a big builder came in and said, "We're going to help you with that. What's it going to cost us? I mean, look right now. The price of 2x4s is up three times what it used to be. And everybody says, this is a terrible time to do anything." Honey, God's the same today as he was yesterday. And then he's not worried about the price of 2x4s or steel, the price of concrete. He's not worried about it. God's got it all under control. We just need to trust him. Amen. And so they started building there in the little church. And maybe you might go up to the city of Philadelphia and you might go and look at Temple Baptist Church and look right across and see Temple University and see the Good Samaritan Hospital, all of those great buildings and edifices and all the people that they helped to this day all started because one little girl was praying and was taking up a little collection of 57 cents that God might grow her church and people get saved. Amen. Honey, I'm telling you, I don't know what's wrong with us, but we need to learn that the God we seek and the God we serve, he is well able to meet our every need, and we can pray beyond our experience. We can pray a prayer of faith and just stand back and see the salvation of the Lord. He's parted the Red Sea. He'll let you cross the Jordan, honey. He'll move mountains out of your way. You just pray and believe God and watch what he'll do. If you pray and believe, you will receive. But if you pray and doubt, honey, you are positively going to do without. That's the message God laid on my heart tonight before the preacher comes. And I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. And Seth, I'm going to ask you if you'd come to the piano. There may be somebody tonight, maybe you're doubting. Maybe you're troubled. Maybe there's a big object. Maybe there's something you just need God to do. You're just begging him to do tonight. And it's going to start in a prayer of submission. Humble yourself before him before you ever pray. Tell him what a sinner that you are. Tell him you're a wretch. He already knows. Ask him for his mercy. Hey, when you pray, pray in the name of the Son and pray in the power of the Spirit of Almighty God. Pray and surrender to his will. Make sure you've got everything right between you and your neighbor. Be in sweet fellowship tonight. Just believe him tonight, I pray. Oh, God, would you help us? Lord, tonight as we bow, we thank you, Father, for your precious word and for the promises and the truths thereof. God, we're not fit to be in your church. We're not fit to be saved. We're just a wretch. Lord, we're sinners.
But thank God we've been saved by the grace of God. And even since we've been saved, we failed you and failed you miserably. Lord, would you forgive us? God, where we have aughts, God, help us to lay them down at Jesus' feet. You've already died for those things. And forgiving us, God, help us, Lord, I pray tonight, God, to let things go. Lord, I pray then, Lord, that we'd be in fellowship one with another and in fellowship with you. Lord, tonight their needs, Father, their homes, their marriages, their children that are wayward. God, there's problems that are insurmountable. God, there's needs tonight. There's rivers that need to be crossed, and there's mountains that need to be moved or tunneled through. God, I believe you can do all those things. Lord, we're praying to a God tonight that I believe is on the throne. Elijah, he got down and prayed in just 60-some words, and before he ever said amen, the power of God fell in fire and consumed the sacrifice and licked up the water and the stones and the dust, and everybody bowed and said, the Lord, he is God. Lord, tonight I believe, God, you can do it. You can fill us with your spirit. You can fill us with your answer. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing. Help us, God, I pray. And Lord, where I don't have faith to believe, God, give me of the faith of Jesus. He has the faith to get things done. Give me the faith of the Spirit of God. He makes intercession for us tonight, God. Help us, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, we trust, we commit, and we believe. In Jesus' name, help us, we pray. Amen and amen.